Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, it's Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs Radio Network pregame show starts 3 hours before kickoff, right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
AFN, CFM, and AM, HD1 and HD2, Kansas City, in Odyssey Sports Station.
Let me read a stat to you that I just saw.
You're a stat guy now?
Well, it's not really a stat. It's a baseball thing, right? We talk all the time about baseball money and how that's important to, you know, to win and all that kind of stuff. National baseball writers, this comes from Michael DeCourcy of the Sporting News. National baseball writers eager to insist 2025 MLB playoff field showed market equality should have waited a few days. Metro areas of the remaining 8 teams. Number 1, number 2, number 3, number 6, number 9, number 15, number 14, number 40. Almost a 90% chance that the champion of baseball is a top 15 market. And that would make it the 23rd time in the last 26 years that a market 15 or higher won the World Series, which makes it even more remarkable still what the Royals were able to do in 14 and 15. Being market number 33, for the 23 of the last 26 years, the World Series champion has come from market 15 or higher. Only 3 times in the last 26 years since the strike has that come from lower. One of those is the St. Louis Cardinals. They're a big market team, Royals. Obviously. The Royals. And I'm trying to think of who the third
Rangers
one.
Or Braves?
No, Texas and Dallas is a top, you know, 5 market. Atlanta's a big, you know, top market as well. Top 10, you know, population wise market. I'm trying to think.
Washington.
No, DC's up there as well.
Who'd you guys name already?
It was the Royals and Cardinals are the first two that would come to mind.
But the Cardinals won.
The Cardinals won two of them. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, they did. Yeah. So it's the Royals and Cardinals are, and the Cardinals aren't really a small market team until this year when how many fans less? 600,000 showed up or something less.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest drop in baseball this year in attendance. I don't blame them. But the Cardinals printed money. They've never been a quote unquote small market team. So you take those two Cardinal World Series and put them into the big boy pot. Mm-hmm. There's one team in the last 26 years since the strike in a small market that has won the World Series, and it's the Kansas City Royals. I still think the collective, take what happened 10 years ago for granted. And then you look at what's going on in baseball right now and how essentially it's the big market, the big revenue teams that win. And the Royals found a way to win the World Series in a sport that, by this measure right here, the facts, doesn't lend itself to the small market, small revenue team winning. The Royals really did what they accomplished 10 years ago is still remarkable to this day.
Somebody says on the text, I know stats says we need a salary cap more than what you just said. Yeah. I mean, it might be coming.
And this is where I kind of fall on this, right? I want the salary cap. I want a salary floor more than I want a salary cap because Pittsburgh, Florida, all these teams, you need to start spending your money, right? Would you be willing to lose an entire season to get the salary cap and salary floor in baseball, though? I don't know the answer to that question. I think fans would come back if they had a salary cap and a salary floor, but there's no guarantees that fans would come back after another year.
I don't
want
any stoppage because it's rolling.
Either.
It's rolling well. Yep. And it's rolling Wallace per se for the Chiefs. Interesting baseball information here because Baseball America, you know, great people over there do the writings for this. They put all their, you know, rookie players from this year and where they rank. Obviously, you can imagine offensively, Nick Kurtz is up there, Roman Anthony, Jacob Wilson, those guys that really came onto the scene and really showed, you know, offensive numbers. And then they do, obviously, the pitching as well.
Mm-hmm.
The kid last night, Schlitter for the Yankees, he's on that list as the fourth one. Cade Horton, the guy pitching in Chicago for the White Sox, he's or the Cubs, mm-hmm. he's second on that list. Any guess at who the number one rookie pitcher was on this list?
Well, I know who it is, so I'm not going to guess.
You know who it is? Noah Cameron. Yeah. Noah Cameron had a 2.99 ERA, 138 innings pitched, gave up 109 hits in 138 innings. For those of you that are Stratomatic nerds, you would select Noah Cameron's card in Stratomatic. Struck out 114 and 138. Again, not a strikeout. Well, they say that he's not a thrower. He's a pitcher.
He's a pitcher.
Right?
Yeah.
Top of your list as a rookie from Baseball America on this list. I find this very interesting. Now you could say, you know, well, there's other guys. I mean, Braden Fisher for Toronto had a 2.70 ERA. Cam Schlitter had a 2.96 ERA, but only had 73 innings pitched.
Yeah, very few innings for
Noah
for
Cameron had Schlitter. The second most innings pitched. It had arguably the best ERA. Now, Cade Horton is going to be a stud in the Chicago Cubs organization. He had a 2.67 ERA, had 118 innings pitched. But this is where you really have to think about your conversation, Bob, about how you want to acquire a bat. And you've kind of been gung-ho on saying that Noah Cameron is the guy that you should put out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said it's Chris Bubich. I think that's the guy that you should trade. I know the injuries will obviously cause a conversation in these sort of deals for an outfield bat. But can you give something up that is apparently this valuable for your team? Obviously, a local kid. They drafted three local kids in that Noah Cameron draft, one of them being Carter Jensen as well. But I think when you look at this, what Noah Cameron brings as a first-year starter, you know, we're going to do a lot of things here. We're going to expect him to do this now because of 1 year of, right. of resume. But also, if we can expect that, you know, that's one hell of an option as your third starter in your rotation.
He was outstanding this year for the Royals, and that's why you sell high, right? You know, you sell, right? You sell high on this. The best way that you're going to acquire a bat is via trade. I just don't think at this stage of the game, until the new stadium opens and all that new revenue is being generated by the new stadium and the new, you know, ballpark village area and all that kind of stuff, the Royals are still got to find a way to make their dollars work, right? And they're going to still have to find a way to make their dollars work even after all that. It's a business at the end of the day. And so I think it's going to be very difficult just to go out there and pay somebody, a slugger, to come here to Kansas City because, as we saw last offseason, they got outbid not just by $5, they got outbid by $30 million.
And luckily they did.
And luckily they did because they passed and it wouldn't have worked out here. Fine. So you need to make a trade. That's the best way that you're going to acquire a bat. And as we know, a lot of these owners in Major League Baseball are skinflints, man. They are cheap. And you look at a guy like Noah Cameron, who doesn't reach arbitration until, I don't know, 2075 at this point. You know, he's got so much control available. He's been so good. That's where you get your biggest bang for your buck in return, right? You give up more and you get more back in return. And the Royals are... Yes, desperate, I think, is the right word to use for an outfield bat. We've been desperate for an outfield bat for 100 years in Kansas City now, right? So we need to go get that outfield bat because that's what's going to help you get into the postseason. You have to hit in the regular season. You have to pitch in the postseason. The Royals are lucky. They've got eight guys. If Noah Cameron was the only guy on their roster that could pitch, we're not having this conversation. Quite honestly, I think, in my opinion anyway, if Bubich never got hurt, that's the guy I would be trading. 100% would be trading. I think it's hard to trade a guy that's coming off of injury, right? Like, you're not going to get as much as you would if he pitched the entire season healthy.
Would.
You're not getting anything for Lugo. You're not getting anything for Waka. You're not probably going to get a whole lot for just about anybody else in this rotation at this point in time, but you will get a lot for Noah Cameron in return. And that's how you get better as an organization. You have to make those tough trades. Look at the Zach Greinke trade. Was that a tough trade to make? Probably. Great pitcher, but look what you got in return. And then I think that the one that's comped to this, if they do end up trading Noah Cameron, for me, is when they traded Will Myers. And everybody lost their mind. Oh, we can't do it without Will Myers. He's the future of this organization. Well, you know what? It worked out well. Will Myers had a very nice career, but the Royals won championships, a championship, two American League championships, and they don't have those if they keep Will Myers on this roster. So you have to look for best overall way to improve this roster, and I think Noah Cameron brings you your most bang for your buck.
So to have that conversation on the other side, because I don't want to get rid of Noah Cameron.
I don't either, but you know, I have to.
But I would say that you can make Chris Bubich valuable if you pair him with somebody that is in that sort of field of – because you mentioned Will Myers and Zach Greinke. Mm-hmm. So my rebuttal to that is Will Myers was unproven. Noah Cameron is proven. Yep. So you don't really know what you're losing in Will Myers. You're gambling that he's going to be that number one prospect in your system and one of the top five prospects in baseball, and he's going to go off and be this stud. He wasn't.
No.
And so it looks in hindsight, you're like, great move. Now
he had a nice career.
Sure
though,
he did.
You know?
Yeah. And then you look at guys like Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke clearly did not want to be here right at the time, right? He was doing his job. He was doing everything they could, and this franchise was losing. And you're like, hey, we've got to rebuild. We've seen what we've given Zach a Cy Young. He did it here. It's time for him to move on. You did that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Noah Cameron came in here. The local tie helps, I think. And it also gets people a little bit more affectionate towards him as in this organization. But he is somebody that with this team, if you want to be that playoff team, you need to have him. Because what we saw this year is every single starting pitcher got hurt except who? Noah Cameron.
Yeah, right.
Noah Cameron was there for the long haul. I don't know if you can trust Cole Reagan to stay healthy for a full season. I don't know what Seth Lugo is going to be now that he's shown that he can kind of be more mortal than immortal.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what, you know, Chris Bubich is going to do with the injury. So you got to have that security blanket in Noah Cameron. Now, what you can do is that since you kind of know what Bubich is, you could package him with a guy like, I don't know, Blake Mitchell, who is a top prospect in your system that you're okay probably getting rid of because you don't know what Blake Mitchell can be. Plus, you have Carter Jensen.
Yeah.
You're going to bring back Salvador Perez. There is not a spot in that lineup next year for Blake Mitchell right out of the chute, and he's not part of your certain, you know, your not foreseeable future, but your immediate future. Noah Cameron is a guy that has proven that he can withstand, you know, the season. I know he didn't pitch till about July, but
I think he pitched 120 innings. That's a good body of work. It's a great body of work.
And
actually,
I think that when you throw out Bubich out there, you'd be like, yeah, you know, he had Tommy John, who hasn't,
right?
They shut him down in the season because his shoulder was inflamed and they wanted to put him on the DL or the IL for the season. And Blake Mitchell is the unknown, but he's a top prospect. So you're getting something of known that's effective. Chris Bubich, and then you have a guy in Blake Mitchell who's a top prospect who again has that control. And with Noah Cameron, because we talked about in the season before with Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino, who gets the contract first? I think it's Michael Garcia because Vinny Pasquantino being 27 and still has three more years of control. Are you really going to give a guy that contract now, or do you just say, "Hey, man, we'll make it sweet until you're 30"? At that point, you're hoping, me included, that Jack Caglione has arrived and then he can play first base for the foreseeable future. But I think Noah Cameron is a piece that you kind of got to keep. Whereas I think that Chris Bubich, I know the injuries are there. You could pair him with something to make that sweeter and get the haul that you want back.
I don't hate that idea at all, but I don't want them to go out there and not get the best possible guy available because I don't want to say afraid to trade Noah Cameron, because I don't think that's the case at all. I think JJ, he's a dealer, man. Mm-hmm. I think he will do what he feels is necessary to make this team the best they possibly can. You keep wanting to jump in there.
Get in there.
Get in.
Get in that ass.
Wood.
Yeah, wood, Dusty. That's crazy. I would be okay trading a guy like Noah Cameron, even though it would hurt. You got at least five more years of control, I believe. You developed him under the thought that, well, you can develop starting pitching now. This is the thing. Royals organization that none of us know. Just plain and simple. We are not operating on the Royals of 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They can grow starting pitching, and that's a great thing. They have come leaps and bounds in just a couple of years. That said, it's hard to acquire a bat. You look at all these lineups, even the Dodgers, the Phillies, the back half of these lineups
all stink.
Potent. Nate Eaton hit six for the Red Sox the other day. Nate Eaton, the guy that couldn't crack the 106 loss Royals team a few years ago. Okay. Right. These guys aren't just out there willing to, I mean, unless you're going to spend on a Kyle Tucker, a Kyle Schwarber, or something like that, you've got to go get them in a trade. And that huge bat that I think would compare to the value that Noah Cameron would bring isn't really out there. So for that reason, I tend to align more with Dusty. Use a guy like Blake Mitchell. The name that keeps coming to my mind is Stephen Kwan of the Guardians.
I love him. Year. Yeah,
he's got 2 years of control.
Don't get me started on Stephen Kwan. Yeah, would
absolutely would. Can hit leadoff, plays left field, what you need, and keep that starting pitching eight deep, like you talked about, Bob. don't take away from that strength in order to go get, unless it is someone of a higher caliber that I'm missing. But in context of what the trade market is, that's why I would hold on to Noah Kim.
Yeah, and again, this is why these guys get paid the big bucks, right? There's probably trades out there we don't even know about that are being talked about. Obviously, there are, right? So I'm excited. I am excited for this offseason to see what the Royals are going
to
do, because I think it's going
to
be fun.
Spring training.
What's that?
You've already got your tickets for spring training.
Not yet, I don't. Okay. Not yet, but soon. Actually, you talked about it the other day.
The stadiums.
Yeah, but we've got to...
soon.
Soon, yeah. October 22nd, I heard. Then I heard after the elections, and so there's...
12 days.
So now after the election is November, so, that's...
First of the year.
Well, December 31st, like legit, is the last day, because that's when the Star Bond sunset over there in Kansas. So both teams are going to make their minds up by the end of the year.
Well, at least we can gamble by December 1st on that situation.
That's
coming up,
right,
on the other side, we'll get to a situation for the Bengals. New coach or new quarterback, what's more needed, and plus what the Chiefs might end up doing for the first time in a long time in Jacksonville on Monday night here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This comes from the text line. I will miss Noah Cameron if they trade him, but sell his rear as fast as we can for a bat. Carter Jensen can be our local guy for the next 15 years. Two local guys is great, but one will do.
I like that text. That's good. That's fun.
Somebody says they like the take from Nathan about Stephen Kwan.
I do too. Yeah.
He is, idealistically, I was telling Bob this during the break, he is exactly what most Royals fans want. He's a defensive outfielder that can play left field, and he gets on base as your leadoff hitter.
And
everyone
he hits.
Wants him besides Michael Garcia, because Michael wants to slide up to that one spot again.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
He's the only guy that doesn't. I mean, like, he wants the team to get better. I'm not. This is not a
no,
a shot
I know. Yeah,
you guys are boys, apparently.
But, yeah, right. Yeah. He's the only one that would be affected by that. Other than him sliding up, that leadoff spot is wide open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jonathan India did not work in that spot.
Right.
There's nobody there. And so he plays left field. He hits leadoff. The text line has, I mean, thank you for the compliment, you know, Bob, as well. Text line's also said, hey, it's an in-division trade.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. You play them 12 times a year. So if you move off of a Bubich and a prospect to go get Stephen Kwan, okay, six extra games compared to the Red Sox or some other team that's not in your division, so you got to face Bubich and once. I mean, and this is also a team that they go up against a rookie half a dozen times
a
year.
Yeah.
From Double A, we've never heard of, and they get mowed down. I don't care if they face Chris Bubich an extra time.
I was thinking it from the Cleveland perspective, though. Why would they want to trade Kwan to make the Royals better?
You also wonder what Cleveland's window is.
Yeah, like, that's other thing. Yeah.
They had one hell of a comeback and then got to the playoffs and they fell short. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, are they going to move on from Jose Ramirez?
He's one of my favorite players in baseball, man. I love that guy so much.
I was ripping packs the other night on Fanatics, and one of the guys that was doing it is a huge Cleveland guy, and I just, you know, chatted. I was like, where does Jose Ramirez rank all time for you as a Cleveland fan? He said number one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, they had Manny.
Yep.
They had Tomy. They had Vizquel.
Yep.
Sandy Alomar. They had all these guys. Carlos Baerga.
Joey Bell.
Yeah. Albert Bell. Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested to know what Cleveland is going to do, because it seemed like they were going to fall short this year. Then, of course, they won the division always. I think, what do they want it, like 9 years in a row now? I'm interested in that. The other thing that's interesting, maybe I'm completely off my rocker here. Am I the only one that still has some sort of interest in Luis Robert? Because I know he doesn't necessarily maybe like Chicago, and maybe it's time to divorce that relationship. But play center field.
He's a great defender. He is an amazing defender.
And he's got a stick, but it hasn't shown up.
It out. Yeah. You got to figure it out. Like, his stick has been quiet for a year and a half now.
Because that seems like a guy that you could, you know, kind of could be a new face in a new place that could absolutely skyrocket. Like, we saw, what was the cat for the Chicago White Sox? They took number one over Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah.
He went to Milwaukee. Look what he did.
Right.
And look where Milwaukee's at. Trade of the regular season.
It worked out great. He needed a change. Look, you know, Luis Robert needs a change of scenery. There's no question. And he was going to be the number one guy dealt this season. And then he started the season and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And so Luis Robert right now has trade value that I think, in my opinion, is significantly lower than what the White Sox would ever, you know, expect to get for him. And so unless the White Sox are just trying to get rid of him, I'm going to imagine they're going to try to do the same thing that they did last year. Hang on to him, start the season, pray that he gets off to a hot start, and then you try to trade him and get more. Because right now, if you're trading for Luis Robert, you're getting like MJ Melendez back in return, right? There's not a lot of value there. So I don't know that the White Sox would at this point in time trade him, because he's not a bad guy in the locker room. It's like, well, we got to get rid of this guy. They're not going to give him up, I don't think, for pennies on the dollar, because you're going to say, look, this guy's got talent. We're going to give him the jump start the season. Let's see what April and May can do and see if he can't get jump started and trade him then. That's what I would do if I were the White Sox. I wouldn't trade Luis Robert right now for pennies on the dollar.
Because the popular name going to the offseason is going to be Duran.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to see the media from Boston just absolutely crap on this kid.
Yep.
And we know that Duran's kind of a hothead, mm-hmm. and so that doesn't really, you know, affect people in the way that it should. But again, it also screams new face, new place, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Come to Kansas City.
And the Red Sox need pitching. I mean, they had a 19-year-old starting game three. That was his fifth start in baseball.
Which that should have been Giolito, but obviously he got hurt,
which
is random at the end of the season. It's like, oh, yeah, Giolito's out. You're like, oh, okay,
but it's throwing out that early kid yesterday. I mean, could you imagine a 19-year-old making a start, your fifth professional start at Yankee Stadium in game three, an elimination game, winner-take-all series?
I imagine Binkley being his pitching coach. Let me tell you something here, man. First four batters you face, all four MVPs in the league at one point. Good luck.
That's what Binkley would say. Best of luck.
Yeah, you know, Goldschmidt one time hit 335, hit 48 home runs for the Diamondbacks. He then went to the Cardinals. Now he's a Yankee. Cody Bellinger, he looks like he's stoned, MVP in the Dodgers organization.
Chiefs play Monday night, and what we've now been kind of told and brought to our attention is it's going to be kind of a swampy, sloppy pit.
Mm-hmm.
If they were ever going to run the ball, boy, this is a reason to do it.
Well, it really is, and another reason to do it is because of your quarterback. And this is, Pro Football Talk had this story up yesterday, and I was like, yeah, this is actually really interesting to me as to why you do need to run it more, because Patrick Mahomes is on the injury report for the second consecutive week. Last week, he had an injury report on his hand.
Got a hangnail?
Had a wrist injury, and now he's got a groin injury. Right.
Oof.
So take the pressure off your quarterback, right? Take the pressure off your quarterback and run the football a little bit more. I know it's like, you know, an adverse type of thing to have them run the football a little bit more, but it was effective last week. And now your quarterback's a little bit banged up. It's going to be a slop pit out there. Take the ball out of his hands, give it to the running backs a little bit, kind of change the pace up a little bit, slow it down a little bit, and give your quarterback an opportunity to breathe. And sometimes that's all you need. Like, just give me one play where I can kind of collect my thoughts a little bit and just hand it off to the running back. And if, you know, Patrick Mahomes continues to pop on the injury report, I'm handing the ball off more often than not, especially with this game that's going to be sloppy. I think it can be a big game for the running backs this week, and I'd like it to be a big game for the running backs this week.
Yeah, because Mitch was talking about how you could unleash your cannons against the Jags, and they're a very eager defense, I think is the way that you could describe them. They like to move first and like make you play into their position, mm-hmm. right? And Mahomes is one of those guys that we know is photographic when it comes to like his memory. He can see somebody move. And I think that where you can use your running backs in this is, you know, Kareem Hunt, short yardage. Isaiah Pacheco's a spell. And then we've heard from Andy Reid and Matt Nagy that they want to get Rashard Smith more involved. The guy was a receiver. I would love to see dump passes and screens.
Yeah.
Because if that field is wet, advantage offensive lineman blocking. Because they're going to a spot they know where they can plant and block. Whereas, like, the defense is going to be running everywhere. If you can get them sliding around, use Rashard Smith's speed and vision as what he had at a wide receiver. I feel like that's using your running game without actually using your running. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Where you're using the behind the line of scrimmage plays that also Nate Taylor talked about with Rashee Rice, what they like to do. Xavier Worthy running jet sweeps, you know, all that sort of thing. Again, we'll see what the weather ends up being on Monday night in Jacksonville. But from what we've been told from people that are, you know, joining shows on Cody and Gold or, you know, guys who joined our show, it's going to be sloppy. It's going to be wet. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do that, I think that's a huge advantage for your offense with a defense that is super eager to try to make the first move.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm envisioning what you're talking about. The defensive lineman slip sliding away, you know, and doing all that kind of stuff. And if you can go, you know, cut left and they're going right by him and, you know, you can't get that footing. And so the offense should have a big advantage on both sides of the ball, quite honestly. If it's going to be a rain slop fest, the offense, like you said, knows where they're going. So they've got an opportunity to have that big advantage, and especially on the wet field. So I like the screen game too. I like the run game for this team right now, where it's headed and what we saw a week ago. So to me, it looks like the opportunity to go out there and just kind of have an effective running game this week. Like, let's let everybody just kind of rest a little bit, you know, from a receiver standpoint. Let's focus on the running game this week. Let's get that going and let's make that the focal point, because I'm kind of like you. I would love to see a blowout this weekend against Jacksonville, because I do think a blowout maybe ends the narrative that people have on this team.
I like your take on the Cincinnati Bengals, because there's a lot of people out there that want them to go get a quarterback for their team, because it's not working with Jake Browning. But Zach Taylor has said it's, you know, it is what it is. And then Jamar Chase was talking as well in his press conference. I think yesterday he was talking about, you know, getting riled up on the sideline. And I kind of listened to it, because we've kind of sat here and complained about Chiefs players doing that. And he says, I don't really have an issue with it, because it shows that there's passion and the want to play. And he goes, we need to see more of that. Now, obviously, he goes into detail about how, you know, you got to do it in the right situation and show that you care and show that you want to win. They have a coach that I think we can see what's going to happen. They're probably going to move on from Zach Taylor. I don't think you should ever lose your job if you lose your quarterback.
Right.
But again, this is more than just this year's issue, right? This is, hey, man, like, you're going to live and die by Jake Browning. You're going to sink with this ship. We're going to move on. And there's a guy that wants to come back to coaching who has some ties to two people on this team, and that is Ed Oregon.
Or Orgeron, yeah.
Oregon, yeah. Yeah. Go Tigers.
Yeah.
You like that move?
I think that would be fun.
To have Burrow and Chase and be like, hey, boys.
Yeah, he wants to get back into coaching, he said yesterday. Right?
The Oregon is back.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know what? Why not reunite the band and do that? They had all that success, obviously, at LSU. Don't you think Chase and Burrow would love the fact that Ed Orgeron was going to be their coach and raise their level of play just to have that guy who they won a national championship with down there? If he's looking to get back into coaching and you're looking to preserve this thing in Cincinnati for as long as possible, I mean, I wouldn't be looking to get a new quarterback right now, because you still have a really good one when he's healthy. Now, if he has another injury, then we're, you know, we're having these serious conversations about Joe Burrow. But if you're going to make some drastic changes there in Cincinnati after this season, why not bring Ed Orgeron in? I think it'd be great entertainment for us. I think it'd be fun for those guys in Cincinnati. It'd be good for the NFL. That's the guy you hire. If you're really trying to maximize Chase and Joe Burrow, bring the guy in that maximized their talents in college.
They can go get Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well.
That's right.
Like, as the 913 mentions. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Ed Orgeron, Oregon. Love the guy. I think he's entertaining. Don't think he's an NFL type coach.
Maybe not, though. No.
Yeah. But, you know.
But you never know.
Him,
you know?
Can we get him this week if we're going to get him so we can get Dan Campbell against Coach
Ed Orgeron?
I mean,
yeah.
Like the ground would like shake.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
As they walk. I mean, just.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Who would you understand more, Ed Orgeron or Dan Campbell with a dip in his mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we got these Tigers. Yeah, you know, big time plays all that cool stuff out, and we did good. Like,
okay.
Sure.
Thanks, coach.
Yeah. Somebody says, look up the stat. Joe Burrow's missed more games than Tua Tagovailoa.
I'm not surprised by that. He missed an entire season, you know?
Right.
I mean, Tua hasn't missed an entire season. No, Burrow's missed a lot of time, man. It's frustrating if you're a Cincinnati Bengal fan.
It's also frustrating because they haven't given up anything to, you know, put the offensive line together.
Right.
So, I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, you gave Higgins and Chase money. We've talked about it until our, you know, eyes bleed that they should have only paid one, not
right.
both. And they did. And so what you do is, yes, you get both of your offensive weapons, but what are your weapons if you, you know, it's like, yeah, you might have a nice sports car, but you don't have the key.
Right.
Right. Like, yeah, it looks great in your driveway. I bet that thing goes fast. I wouldn't know. I can't start it.
Right.
Right? So interesting there. I do want to bring up this interesting stat from baseball yesterday. This is from umpire auditor.
Mm-hmm.
In today's elimination games, so yesterday's elimination games, all three umpires call below league average games.
Wow.
Umpires David Rackley, Mark Rippinger, and DJ Ryburn combined to miss 36 calls in one day, in an elimination day.
Well, what did I say?
36
early,
calls.
Like they missed 26,000 over the course of the season.
Believe
like
it now, they missed 36 in a day.
They missed 30. So, yeah, 30. And that's only three games.
Right.
So let's say they're missing an average of 11 or 12 calls per game in every game. That's a lot.
There's what, about 18 games a day?
Well, there's 30 teams in baseball, so you're
12 to 15 games a day.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, it's
36 calls in a time. Because like we saw this earlier this year in the KU Missouri game, the refs were terrible.
Yeah,
they got suspended. Like they literally got suspended the next day.
Yeah.
Because they weren't doing their job in a rivalry game that had no implications, but it didn't have this
right
elimination. Like when umpires want to get mad or they want to strike. There's statistical evidence that they're not doing their job at the level that they should be doing their job, because guess what? Now the situations get a little bit more tense, and mm-hmm. we're going to see the same stuff because, I mean, again, three umpires missing 36 calls in three elimination games cannot happen. You must do better.
And we're obviously all focused on what happened in the Cubs game last night and the way that thing ended with that called strike three in the ninth inning that was not a strike. I mean, and even the folks on ESPN are going, what did we just see here? So it was a terrible decision by that umpire to, you know, to call strike three in the ninth inning. That's just the ninth inning one that we recognize. There were 35 other misses in those three playoff games. And look, for years, umpires and referees in professional sports have been made to be infallible. Like, you can't attack the umpires. You can't attack the referees. You know, if you say anything about them, you know, $50,000 fines and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
I think with the way that, you know, technology is today, we can all see when these guys and gals make mistakes, and they do need to be held accountable. I'm not for what the Padres players did yesterday to the umpires as they were walking, you know, through their dugout into the umpire locker room. They were yelling and screaming and trying to, you know, attack them, and it wasn't a good look for the Padre players. I understand the frustration, but this is also why we need to start holding these guys and gals accountable. I know, look, in the NFL, if you mess up, you're fired. They fire referees and officials all the time in the NFL, and they release that, and they tell you who's being replaced and whatnot in the NFL. Major League Baseball has no public accountability at this point in time for these umpires. And now, next year, once the ABS is in, you're going to have that accountability. And I think that's good. And the umpires need to be graded on their accountability. And that DJ Ryburn last night, he should face a suspension next year because of how egregious that call was. They need to pay for their mistakes, especially in moments like that. And with the ABS, they're only limiting it to two challenges, right, per team. If you get it right, you keep your challenge. I don't know that that's enough.
Well, that's where my thought is, Bob. And how soon is it? I think like the second week of the season. Some, I don't know which market it'll be in, which team is affected, and which morning talk show is the one that's blessed with callers that's saying it needs to be 5 challenges. It needs to be 8, you know, whatever it is, because those will evaporate.
Right.
There will be a game in which both challenges are used, and this happens again in the 9th inning. So I think the only other place to go from there is to listen to this rallying cry, you know, of both of you guys, of what does public accountability look like for these umpires in baseball? That's the only thing left to do.
Major League Baseball should release grades for the umpires after every game and just let you know what they were doing. Because gambling, too, man. Like, the days have changed where the umpires need to be protected and we can't criticize them. There's too much on the line now. Salaries, bonuses, gambling, all this stuff that is in sports now that wasn't there in the past. I mean, it's all a factor, and these umpires need to be held accountable for that. You can't have these egregious calls. Thank God we're getting the ABS next year, man.
Well, that's going to put them in their head, too. Sorry, Desi, to
no, cut you're
you
good.
Out there.
No, go
that's going to – I mean, imagine that Rayburn gets overturned there on that call, and then later in the inning, you know, calls something closer to the zone, a ball, because he's like, well, I just got overturned here on this call in the same spot a minute ago. Like, I don't think the 2 challenges is going to give as much leeway, you know, for the players to overturn a call as the league thinks it will, unless they're really successful, which the data from the minor league says it's about 50-50. So I think it's going to just cause as many problems as it, at least in the early going, as long as many.
Because you don't think there's enough challenges. Do you think there should be unlimited challenges for the ABS?
Now that he's saying that it's going to get them second guessing.
Yeah. Oh, the umpires.
Because how dare I get embarrassed by a robot?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, they were, from what I was told at the beginning of spring training last year, they were pissed, the umpires, right? Because they were also required in spring training to wear an earpiece, and in between innings, they had an umpire in the booth talk to the umpire, like coaching him. All right, you missed this call, which I think is great. I don't have a problem with the umpires, of course. They're infallible. You know, up yours to the umpires. I'll just say that, right? You don't own the game. You can deserve to be criticized and critiqued by your superiors as much as everybody else. And so they were a little, you know, anti-ABS during the spring training. And then it started to take place, and I was told the umpires really came around to adopting and liking the ABS because they realized it wasn't that big a deal and it wasn't that, you know, intrusive, if you will, on the game. So they came around during spring training. I hope they embrace it even more. It's good for the game to have this, because you don't want to be talking about this stuff. You want to be talking about the great pitching performances or the clutch hitting and the great defense or whatever it is that you want to talk about from the game. You don't want to sit here and you don't want to talk about the officials. They should be seen and not heard.
There's a couple of points. One I'll make, one the text line makes. The one on the text line is something that I've been advocating for my entire life, and that is have, you know, if coaches and players are forced to do press conferences, so should officials.
Yeah.
That'll never happen. It just won't happen. Like, I want it to. Hey, Ed Hockley, you made a call in the final game with a holding call. You know, what went through your mindset in that process? The other thing that I will say is that, you know, this, to your point, maybe this also on the text line gets the referees or the umpires to relax in baseball, because yes, it could be embarrassing if you missed a call, but how much more, you know, egotistical do they become when in the right way? Sometimes ego is not a bad thing,
right?
Where you challenge and you're wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey man, I'm calling that all night. It's a strike. Clearly you saw it. Like, can also have the pitchers and the batter second guessing, because when I went and saw, when Alex and I and Cody and Drew all went down to Springfield to watch Cags play in AA against the Cardinals organization, there was a couple times where a guy did it and he was wrong. And then the pitcher did it and he was wrong. And the umpire was just kind of like,
yeah,
all right, come on. You know, like it does work both ways.
It does, yes.
Well, yeah, there is a strategy to playing baseball. I mean, I never played beyond Little League, so I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but there is a very real thing of like, hey, this umpire is giving this pitcher an inch off the zone in the left-handed batter box. Like if it is a close pitch outside, swing, he's going to call it.
Right.
There's an adjustment that you have to make to some extent as a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that call last night was way too far. Like that stuff can't happen. And so for that reason, I'm for the ABS system. But I do think like umpiring is incredibly difficult. So Dusty, I'm with you on like the hope. Maybe this does make them relax,
right,
or get confidence. Maybe you've changed my opinion on that.
I did see something last Friday night. I forget who was playing. It was Florida State, and I forget who they played. But it was a big. It was the, like the kickoff to the college weekend last weekend, and Florida State was playing. And I thought it was interesting. They
wasn't Virginia Tech or somebody. That, it was somebody beat Florida State last week that shouldn't have. Anyway,
it was a great game. It went to like three overtimes or something like that. But when they were doing reviews, they were mic'd up in the booth, like where they did the reviews in New York. And you could hear the conversations going on. I thought that was one of the coolest things ever. They were like, yeah, we're looking at his foot. Okay, that one's in, and it's a catch. Okay, so we're going to rule it a catch? It is. Okay, I'll turn my mic back on. And the guy would walk over, and like you got to hear it all in real time.
Oh, that's really good.
And I don't know if like that's a new thing, but I was watching that game Friday night, and I'm like, shh, I want to hear what they're saying. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? Like, you can hear him in the like control room talking to the referee in his ear. And then the referee would come out and be like, upon further review, the ruling on the field stands. It is a catch. And I'm like, we knew it before it happened.
Yeah, that's really cool. That I like that a lot. That lets you behind the
Virginia,
scenes.
Virginia, that's who it was.
Yeah, Virginia. I thought Virginia Tech, but it keeps you on the up and up too. Again, with gambling being involved, I think those kind of conversations are necessary to hear for the fans. And then you can see, you know, the process that they went through to make that call. So we got the technology. Everybody knows what a strike is. Everybody knows what a ball is. Everybody knows whether you're safe or out. There was a play last night.
Still don't know what a catch is.
No, we still don't know what a catch is in the NFL, but there was a play last night at the plate where somebody slid in and they originally called them out, but they went to the review. He was clearly safe. They changed the call and we moved on with our lives.
Somebody on the text line, not in favor of the ABS, calling it ABS stinky.
It's not,
BBL
though.
ABS stinky. You
haven't seen it yet because you will not say ABS stinky. Once you witness, you don't even know what happens during the game.
No doubt. Then from the 816, the audio was great because it gives you some transparency.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, like, exactly. Because you're like, the referee literally the whole time was quiet. I know we got to go to break, but the whole time the referee was quiet, like watching the thing. And they're like, all right, man. Yep. We see that the right foot is down. The left foot is down. It does look like it. Hang on. Let's get this other angle that's coming in now. Yeah, it's a catch. All right, we're going to rule a catch. Sounds good. All right, after further, it was awesome, dude.
I love the transparency.
Hey, man, I got $5 on this game. Let's make sure it's a catch. All right, heard that.
Yeah, right.
Wait, what? What? Come again. Coming on to the other side, we do our three-leg parlay. Monday, we'll do a Chiefs one, but this day on Friday, we'll do an NFL one. You can trail or you can fly away. It's up to you. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. You don't believe this, but you have to. Alex Gold was out there playing Taylor Swift's song Wood for Jay Binkley.
Oh, good. Okay.
And he decides to tell me this, and I quote, it is 100% true. He goes, Dustman, you know Redwoods, they're known to be big. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. And then I told him the line of the song that he opened up her eyes and then opened up her thighs. And Binkley goes, hey, you what? He goes, it's really in the song. And Alex goes, dude, yeah, here, I'll play it. And he played it for Binkley.
Wait, what did Binkley say?
He goes, what? I said, yeah, dude.
She's not singing about Tim McGraw anymore and Teardrops.
No.
That's for sure.
Good.
Drew as I walked by, talks.
His tongue was out of his mouth.
That's right.
That's about all I saw. He was sitting there just wagging his tongue.
He's red. He was red out there. Like, he doesn't, no pun intended, with the Taylor Swift album, but he is bright red out there. And Alex told us that he's going to do this. I don't want to give away their show, but you want to be listening.
Yeah.
He's going to play like 15 seconds of every song on the album for Binkley and make Binkley react.
What a time to be alive. Have Binkley hearing Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
like, you'd never in your life would have, like, in your life, would you ever have thought that Binkley would be dissecting a Taylor Swift album.
Or that Binkley would even know who Taylor Swift is and whatnot. And I'm sure for Jay Binkley, he doesn't really want to know anything about the Taylor Swift songs. He wants to talk football, but now he's kind of forced to talk it because she's singing about Travis.
Because you know they're going to play that in locker room.
Yeah, of course they are. I mean,
man.
Let me tell you this. If Andy Reid wants to have some fun today, right?
Yeah.
You know, when the guys are starting to walk into the meeting room, just have Wood playing on loop until everybody gets in their seats. You know, like when you walk into a banquet or something, the music's playing overhead to kind of get you to sit down. Just have Wood playing over and over again. And then if you're Andy, you say, listen, hey, Travis, what's that one about?
Yeah, listen, looks like Taylor was up for the challenge. Good Lord, she came with a fierce album. I guess I'll have to listen to it now.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I think track three, my wife claims there's a shot at Kayla Nicole in it, which I'm all for.
I looked that up since you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
I guess the lyric is something along the lines of talking about he wasn't happy with her, now he's happy with Taylor Swift. So pretty much you were a prop. She wouldn't look up from her phone.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You were unhappy. She didn't even notice it, that sort of a thing. So it's a pretty direct shot at his ex.
Crossfire.
I like it. But I mean, she's made a living, maybe, you know, responding to anything and everything, trying to get herself noticed too.
No Chiefs parlay today. We'll do that Monday with myself, Bob, and Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
But there is NFL action, obviously, on Sunday. So we'll do an NFL three-leg parlay. I just now look at this. We're taking all underdogs in this parlay. I'll start us off. I'm going to take Denver plus 3.5 in this game against Philadelphia. It is in Philadelphia. It's the Denver defense. We know there's a lot of confusion and questioning going on with the Philadelphia offense, Denver's defense, and that front four for Denver with the pressure they can cause. Eagles need to throw the ball. If the Denver Bronco defense knows they want to try to throw the ball, they're going to pin their ears back, and they could, in fact, get Jalen Hurts to kind of rock a little bit. So I like Denver being plus 3.5 in this game. Denver kind of needs that game, in my opinion, to kind of get back in the swing of things where they were talked about in the beginning of the season as being a, you know, AFC West contender to win that division, a playoff team. Obviously, last year, they want to go a little bit further this year. This is the Bo Nix season 2. Sean Payton's got his guy. This is a game where Denver can go out there and be like, hey, look, you're 3.5-point underdog. You're playing the best team in the world. We know that we can beat them with our pressure up front. I like Denver plus 3.5 in this game.
Nathan, what do you got in this one?
I'm riding with Jackson Dart and the New York Giants. We talked about teams that could go winless earlier. We talked about the Titans, talked about the Jets. The Saints were a team that Dusty threw out there, but we didn't really get any traction. That'd be my pick if I had to pick a team that was going to go winless. And then Jackson Dart, I don't know how you could not, you know, just kind of feel happy, but also just like excited and energized with what he brought to the table last week in his debut. So I don't think the Saints have anything going for them, and I think instantly they've got the massive quarterback advantage. So you get a point and a half with the Giants on the road. That's who I'm taking.
Going with that. See, I like New England in the points, 8.5, plus 8.5 for New England this week. I think Buffalo is going to be really in for a test this week. I think they've been in a test in all of their games so far, and they found ways to win just like the Chiefs were doing last year. But they're not doing anything that's really impressing me so far. They give up a lot of points. Their combined record of opponents is 1-12, and the only win for them is that Baltimore win that has the one win, and you know, they barely beat Baltimore in week one of that NFL season. So I like New England in the plus 8.5 that they're getting this week against the Buffalo Bills. It just feels right. I don't know if New England's going to ultimately pull the upset. I think New England pulls the upset this week, but I definitely like them in the plus 8.5.
So when you put all three of those together in a three-leg parlay, Denver plus 3.5, Giants plus 1.5, and New England plus 8.5, it comes out to be plus 582.
That's pretty good.
So 10 will win you 58.
Yeah. I thought it'd be a lot higher than that, though, with all of us picking underdogs this week. That's crazy.
No doubt. Somebody says I'll take Jackson Dart's mom for the win.
No doubt. He's nodding. Would. Yeah.
100%.
Would.
Like, I've always thought your son was great at Ole Miss. I think he's going to be the star in New York. By the way, what's your favorite type of wine?
Yeah, right.
I'm a Pinot Noir guy myself, actually.
Did we see his dad in that picture at all?
Are they still together?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, but unless the dad was watching. Have you seen his brother play high school football yet?
No.
Because that's the next
thing. There's another Dart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there is. He's in high school now in Utah, I think, is where. Maybe Georgia. I can't remember which one it is. But he was, no pun intended, darting that ball all over the field, too. And everybody's like, oh, look at Jackson Dart's brother.
I did see a funny photo that had Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Mac Jones all in their Alabama jersey and said, who'd have thought Mac Jones would have been the best quarterback pictured?
Wow. I mean, what they did last night.
Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl and an MVP in that Super Bowl.
I know. They don't like Jalen Hurts. But, I mean, what Mac Jones did last night, man.
That
like,
suit?
I mean, the suit was.
He looked like Tommy Lee Jones from Batman Forever playing Two-Face.
Is there anybody more cringe in all of sports than just Mac Jones, though? I mean, like, you look at him, you're just like, God, you got a case of, like, trying too hard to be somebody you're not. Like,
well, it doesn't matter if he performs like that.
I know. But like, that suit that he had on was just ridiculous looking for him. I mean, he had the mom jeans on at the draft. We all saw that, but he was great last night, man. I'm the San Francisco 49ers at 4-1 are the biggest surprise of the NFL.
Do you know what Jackson Dart's brother's name is?
Yeah, it's something crazy.
Diesel.
Yeah, Diesel Dart. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I knew it was something like
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I'd be pissed if I was Jackson, even though it's spelled with an X.
It's J A X S O N instead of just J A X O N. It's got both the X and the S in his name. Diesel is a really cool name.
You better live up to it.
What's your name? I'm Diesel Dart. Yeah. Oh, God. Are you?
I'm Diesel's mother. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? This is Diesel.
Let's talk to Sean Smith about Jackson Dart's mom. He comes on the show next here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.